Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And Julie, I've always noticed when I'm watching these cartoons, especially things like Futurama and The Simpsons, and even I think like Mickey Mouse, you'll look at their hands.
Yes.
And instead of five fingers, they'll have four.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It's odd. Sometimes you'll see someone add in that fifth finger and it'll look a little cramped. And I think that's the reason is that if you're drawing a cartoon character, if you add all five, appendages to the hand, or phalanges, right?
Yes.
Then it looks a little cramped. So it's better just to knock one of those fingers off and the viewer will get over it pretty fast.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I've heard that, especially in the days of hand drawing, like with Mickey Mouse, that if you had to do an extra digit, then you had to do that, 50,000 times more. So you might as well, like, save some energy. And I've also heard that, that the four finger or the three fingers and a thumb are modeled more off of paw prints. Which is another interesting thing.
Interesting.
But it got us thinking about why do we have these five digits hanging out on our hands anyway?
Indeed, it's an interesting question. And initially I was just kind of taken by the question of, hey, how did this develop? Why five? Why not six? Why not four? And it turns out there's a lot of interesting, meat to this one once you really start digging into
it. And bones.
And bones. Yeah. And I mean, that's what it basically comes down to, the meat and the bones. And it turns out the five fingers, for the most part is deeply ingrained in vertebrate anatomy and also in our embryonic development.
Yeah.
And there's no like easily identified adaptive or functional explanation. Like you can't say, I mean, just think of all the things you use your hands for. It's hard to make an argument for like something in the wild where you'd be like, oh, well, you totally need five fingers to pick up a rock and bash in the head of some sort of a primeval grassland dwelling herbivore.
Right. Yeah, I know. I mean, they don't necessarily need that, right?
Right.
So it's the question again is why do we have this? Why is it the perfect design for
right.
us?
And because how did we because get you there? Also see differences. You also see things like Hemingway's polydactyl cats where they have six toes.
Yeah.
They get by just fine. They're thriving on that little island.
Yeah. And of course Hemingway would have a bunch of six-fingered cats.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. And Anne Boleyn, it was rumored, had a sixth digit.
Yeah.
This is still a rumor, though. This is not verifiable.
Well, reggae artist Jimmy Cliff had an extra finger on each hand, had to have him removed. And he turned out great. Liam Gallagher, lead vocalist of Oasis, he has six toes on his left foot. And, of course, the fictional Hannibal Lecter had six fingers on one of his hands.
Yes, of course. Yeah, so we know it happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of like a mutation, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also begs the question of, like, what can you imagine a world where we didn't have five fingers on a regular basis, you know, on each hand and on each foot? I mean, we have really a five-fingered economy if you think about it.
Yeah, like right now, whatever you're doing, listener, unless you're driving a vehicle, you know, by all means, fold in one of your one finger on each hand and just try to continue doing it and notice how strange it may feel.
It's awkward, right?
Yeah.
Right? And think about this too. Like our base number systems are in 5, 10, and 20, or one hand, two hands, and two hands, and 2 feet, right?
Right.
That's how that equates, right? And our entire economic system is predicated on our fingers, on counting.
Yeah, it's I think it's often referred to as a vertebrate economy.
Yeah, it's a vertebrate economy. And just in case you think we're mad, in Greenland, the word for seven translates as second hand two. So it's assumed the first hand is already up, right? Mm-hmm. So second hand two digits.
Oh, wow.
Equals seven.
I was really fascinated, you know, you're talking about how it's like all of our number systems are based on 5, 10s, or 20s. But it's Greenland, right? Where it's based on a 20 system.
Yeah.
Like one place where I can never imagine someone taking off their boots to do a little mathematics. Like, so why, if someone knows, I'd love to hear an explanation on that. I guess you can still count. It's hard. I'm trying to count with my toes through my shoes and I really don't have a lot of control over, like Piggy's, 3 through 4, you know?
Maybe it's a way to stave off frostbite. You know, like you just keep your toes warm by moving them and counting them.
Do your algebra tables. I'm not a math person. I'm sorry.
I'm not either. I am not a mathlete.
But this was something when another thing, speaking of math and fingers, the other thing that comes to mind instantly, which you said you had not heard of this, was the on your multiplication tables, your nines, where you can say you want to do what's 3 times 9. You hold your fingers up and you put down your third finger for 3. And then you have a 2 on one side of the folded finger and then 7 fingers on the other to tell you it's 27. And you can go across the board with it. Like you want to see 8 by 8 times 9, you put down your 8th finger and you have 7 on one side and 2 on the other.
Which I think is brilliant. I wish I had known about this growing up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it almost feels like cheating.
Well, it does. And the curious thing is over the weekend, I was talking with one of my sisters about it and she reminded me that it was the janitor at our school that taught everybody that. He would come up to you, like while you're in the cafeteria line, he'd be like, "Hey kids, come here. I'm gonna clue you in. You're gonna get ahead in life." Which is the kind of stuff you get from the janitor.
Yeah.
And he showed us the trick with the fingers for the nines on our multiplication table. And it was, I mean, granted, I learned this and went on to learn very little else about mathematics. So I don't know if it works. Maybe it was a handicap that actually held me back. But
or maybe you completely rocked like grade school mathematics.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, thanks to the janitor.
But it does underline just how integrated it is in our mathematical systems.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's something we take for granted, right? The fact that we've got all these fingers. So the question is again, why just 5? And you talked about the limb development, and it's governed by the Hox gene expressions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which divide the embryonic limb bud into 5 sectors at the anterior posterior axis and essentially mapping where the digits will land. Right.
Yeah.
So automatically, I mean, the reason why we normally have 5 and we don't have the mutation of 6 or 7 is because it's those coordinates have already been plotted for us.
Yeah. It is really hardwired into our system. And it basically comes down to evolutionary laziness or evolutionary contingency. At some point in the ancient past, and we're going to get into some of the details on that in a second, this 5-digit system was rolled out and natural selection has never changed the underlying floor plan.
Yeah, it's been like the gold standard.
Yeah, it never tinkered with that design. It's kind of like the neighborhood that I live in. You have all these bungalow houses and it's clear that when they first built these, several decades ago, they were all basically the same house. Now, over time, individual owners have changed them. So you have some very nice additions that are made onto some very crappy additions that are made onto others. You know, and and all sorts of alterations have happened. But if you walk into any one of those houses, you'd instantly be able to tell, this is the same house. I can see the same floor plan. You drive down the street and you can see the same house after the same house, even though they evolved over the decades.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, hey, there's that 1920s blueprint from Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah. To get rid of the basic system there, you'd have to doze the whole thing.
Yeah.
Likewise, to get rid of the five-fingered evolutionary discount, you would have to just go. You'd have to go back to a very ancient point in our development, and just rewrite all vertebrate history from there on.
Right, and you'd have to have good reason to do so.
Yes, I'm. You know, use your time machine responsibly. That's hard to argue that that's a good use of the technology. But let's go back in time then. Scientists think that the five-fingered system emerged sometime before modern amphibians split from birds, mammals, and reptiles. And this is approximately 340 million years ago.
Mm-hmm. This is the Devonian period, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Devonian days. And based on tetrapod fossils from roughly 360 million years ago, scientists believe digits first evolved in principally aquatic animals, and we merely took them with us when we made the transition from fin to limb.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a particular species we look at.
That's called the Acanthostega.
Okay.
Acanthostega.
Sounds good.
Acanthostega. Let's see if I could say it three times. Which is like a fish-like salamander, again, from the Devonian period. And it was actually a game changer in how we've come to understand the evolution of our own digits. But this little sucker is probably one of the most primitive examples of a tetrapod that you could find. And, it revealed that it had, I believe, 8 fingers. Is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it kind of, first of all, that startled everybody in thinking, what? It's not 5? What's going on here?
Why does it have 8 fingers? How does it count?
Yeah. So that was sort of a world rocking thing, for anthropologists at the time. And then the other realization that they had when they looked closer and closer at the fossils is that it didn't exactly develop these 8 digits to crawl out of the water and onto land.
Yeah, there's this common mistake we make. And I think a lot of it comes back to the whole, you're in grade school and you're learning about evolution and you have this chart. Of course, you have the one where it's the ape, the ascent of man, where the ape is slowly becoming the man in sequence. And then you also have the one showing the fish crawling up on the ground, onto the shore, sprouting legs, and then turning into something like a large prehistoric skunk. and it's very useful in understanding how evolution works. But it also has this subtle, message too, that this is the goal, that this fish was old and busted, and the skunk creature is the new hotness.
Yeah, it's like this manifest destiny idea of becoming bipedal, right? Like we just assume that all creatures just, you know, they sprouted these limbs, and then, like you say, they crawled out and became skunks.
Yeah, what are you doing? Get out of the water, come on land where it's happening, grow some legs, develop some hands, and start building cities and beating yourself with stones.
Yeah, but they actually started to look at the fossils in the context of their environments, and they figured out that they were monkeying around the bottom of lagoons with their 8 fingers, and that these 8 fingers came off a poorly designed wrist. And paleontologist Dr. Jenny Clark said the design was, quote, like using a table knife as a pillar with the blade on the ground. Unquote. Okay. So this was one of the many clues that tetrapods weren't necessarily evolving solely to crawl out of the water.
Right. They needed to use these appendages more effectively in the water.
Yeah, exactly. And they figured out, well, they actually have been in the water for a really long time, evolving like these finely tuned legs, mm-hmm. What would become finely tuned legs for us, and using them there. We thought at first that, you know, they'd be using like their elbows to prop themselves up and get out of the water. But in fact, they would use their elbows to stick their head out of the water, you know, for a moment and breathe air. And they would also use their limbs to grasp onto things.
Yeah.
And that would help them really like propel out and like ambush a prey or something.
Yeah. We're basically talking about fish with hands, which to me instantly brings to mind of like a shark holding a shotgun. But which would be kind of awesome. That would really watch this year Shark Week for that. But but no, there are a number of basically fish with hands species today. There's a batfish, there's a handfish, and there's a frogfish. And again, they use these limb-like fins to sneak up on prey, to move around in tight spaces, navigate rocks, and an anchor against strong currents.
Yeah.
So hands can become very, very useful in the water without even any dream of ever getting out of the water and crawling around.
And so it's this kind of stuff that suggests something called pre-adaptation, right? Which it's conditions in which there's no predictable outcome of an evolutionary development. In other words, Anacostega, our little fish friend, became a terrestrial creature out of chance. That's the idea behind this discovery. Discovery Magazine's article Coming Onto Land explains this by using the example of bone, which they say could have developed as a place where animals could store extra phosphorus, and only later did it come to support bodies. So it's not like that bone in this scenario developed simply so that we would become vertebrates and we'd be able to stand upright and support all of our muscles and flesh and so on and so forth. It's just that it could have been an accident of our evolution, which is really fascinating to think about.
Yeah, there's a biologist by the name of Michael Cotes, whose article was my first introduction to this topic. And he argues that the reduction to five digits from, you know, eight or so, it moves along the same lines with the development of complex wrists and ankle joints. Because in using these, as an animal begins to use these digits and these fins to do more things underwater, it's putting weight on them. And that means increased weight on the wrists and ankles. So it goes back to the whole idea of the knife being used as a pillar with the blade down.
Yeah.
And, the limb has to adapt to be able to stabilize better and to have pressure on the wrist and ankle areas.
Yeah. And so there's this idea of pre-adaptation, of all this tinkering going on, so to speak. And it just happened that it all developed in a way, of course, over, you know, hundreds of millions of years, in this case, what we're talking about, 350 million years ago, to eventually support what would become us, right?
Right.
Which is really simplistic way of talking about evolution. But it's an interesting, again, paradigm shift away from saying, here's this fish and it had to become man.
Yeah.
And so it developed some fingers.
No, it's more like this, here's this fish and it developed some fingers for an entirely different project. And then at some point realized, hey, actually, I can crawl up on land with these.
Yeah.
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 We're simplifying things a good bit, but that's basically it.
Yeah. That's to spare you like a 90-minute talk on that one point.
This presentation is brought to you by Intel, sponsors of tomorrow.
Now, we have some species that have also developed a false thumb, which is pretty interesting. Moles and pandas, amazingly. Because a panda is an animal that I generally don't respect all that much because there it is at the zoo, taking up valuable space, costing all this money, and it's just sitting there on its butt.
Oh, you think it's coddled?
Yes, I know it's coddled. The worst was... And I love the zoo here in Atlanta, but they had you're forced to market with it. Like the panda becomes this huge marketing instrument.
Yeah.
And they actually had this campaign where they showed various, very interesting animals at the zoo, various zoo animals, and they were wearing panda masks.
I remember that.
It was kind of like these animals are okay, but it would be even better if they looked like pandas. Put a panda mask on them and maybe we'll get people excited. And those guys, like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's so demeaning.
Yeah, it was really demeaning. I have to say. It was effective in getting your attention though, right?
Yes, it was. So it's an effective ad campaign. But then the thing about pandas, and we could probably do a whole podcast on this, they're actually far more interesting than I give them credit.
Yeah.
And one of those things is that they have this false thumb.
Which the pseudo digit, right?
Yes. And it's basically a remodeled wrist bone. And moles have it as well.
So it's not a true digit in that it's sprouting out from the wrist bone. It's part of the wrist bone.
Right.
But this is a case, though, that it actually helps. It's an adaptive mutation because of their grasping of bamboo.
Right.
So it's not just some sort of random mutation that came along.
Right. And it's not like the Hemingway's cats where they really have no reason to have that extra digit.
Maybe knock back a whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. Or shoot a lion on safari, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Tetrapods, they rarely maintain a polydactyl sixth digit because it would have limited evolutionary use unless it was formed for a distinct purpose like the pandas and their pseudo digit.
Right.
So again, that's why we're seeing this culling back of digits to five because it really does seem to be the perfect, at least for us, right now in this day and age way to get about. Which begs the question, You know, what are we going to look like? Because we are, you know, in the future, because we already know that tool use has shaped the way that our modern hands work today, right?
Right. Yeah. You're throwing things. You're, you know, like the basic, the movement that you make when you throw a dart.
Yeah.
Like that's utilizing a lot of the, what's going on that's really important in your wrist and a lot of the evolution that's taking place to get us, to where we have hands like we do today.
Yeah. And actually, this is from the Journal of Anatomy. It's an article by Professor Richard W. Young, who called Evolution of the Human Hand, the article is called Evolution of the Human Hand, the Role of Throwing and Clubbing. And he posits that our male and female hominid ancestors would have been more apt to survive if they were successfully wielding a club against their adversaries. That would allow them to dominate other hominids and essentially ensure that their club happy DNA were passed on.
Club happy DNA.
Yeah. Okay. And hence this more perfected wrist motion, right? Or grasping too of clubs. He says, quote, the fossil record indicates that adaptation for throwing and clubbing to influence hand structure at or very near the origin of the hominid lineage continued for millions of years thereafter. And then just to go skip a little bit ahead of this quote, he says two unique hand grips were thereby produced called the power and precision grips.
Huh.
So we know, you know, that obviously we're not done evolving. It continues to tinker. We've got our handy little wrists and fingers so adept, partly because we could use tools and we could club other people and things.
Huh. But it makes me instantly, I think, of baseball, where the main centerpiece there is the throwing and the swinging, throwing of a ball and the swinging of basically a large club, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I mean, that's how the club evolved, right?
Yeah.
Which is nice. You quit clubbing people and start make it into a sport involving balls instead of heads. But it did make me think, like, what are we going to look like, 1,000 years from now? I mean, obviously the iPad has a great influence over us right now, and the iPhone does. And
yeah.
If it were to continue with us for 1,000 years, you know, would our current hand structures change so that we were have like stylus pen like little appendages at the
I guess
at our fingers?
Because when you first mentioned to me, I was thinking keyboard, because I guess I'd just been using a keyboard, so I'm like, oh, I guess we'll have more fingers so we can type more.
Right.
But yeah, with things like the iPad, we're already getting into situations where you don't need all those fingers to operate an iPad, and we've talked before about the more we develop human machine interactions, we're getting into a situation where fingers and limbs won't even be necessary.
Right. I mean, and specifically we're talking about like brain computer interfaces,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, eventually one day we'll be able to Google in our brain without even having to enter anything with our fingers.
Yeah.
And then we'll have our, you know, handy dandy exoskeleton arms that are super strong lifting things just for fun.
Well, why would we lift things? We have the robots bring us
things.
That's right.
The robots.
We don't even, like I was thinking, like maybe we'd have fingers just enough to open our Sundrop cans while we use our brain computers. But no, we probably have a cute robot that's going to come over and open our Sundrop for us.
Well, there you go. For now, we can admire our fingers. Look at them, because they're not always going to be with us in the same way they are now.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at my fingers.
I know, you were literally looking at your fingers. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it looks like we have a little listener mail here. I almost said viewer mail, but that I don't think anybody's actually watching.
I don't see anybody under the table today.
All right. We'll check again just to make sure.
Okay. Nope.
All right. Well, we have mail here from
Strickland.
Oh, get out from under there. We have mail here from Adam. And Adam actually writes in about robots. Just mentioned robots. He says, enjoyed the podcast on lying robots, and especially the mention of my favorite sci-fi author, Isaac Asimov. I was surprised that you mentioned Little Lost Robot from iRobot, but didn't bring up the highly applicable Liar, also in iRobot. By way of quick summary, it is about a robot that is accidentally able to read minds. Programmed to not be able to harm humans, the robot's brain gets fired after he can see in the minds of humans the harm that would be created by telling either the truth or by telling a lie in a certain situation. It's probably my favorite story in an already fantastic book. Enjoy. I have to say, it's been a while since I read iRobot, and I really don't remember that story at all. So maybe I skipped it. I don't know. But it sounds cool. I'm going to have to dig up my copy.
All right, then.
And we also heard from Beth, and Beth writes to us on her iPhone and says...
With her stylus pen.
Yeah, and her...
Maybe.
Maybe, or her stylus evolved finger if she's writing this from the future, which is not indicated by the sent date on this email. But at any rate, she writes in and says, "Hey, Julie and Robert, I wanted to write because I just listened to your Defeat Your Doppelgangers podcast. I have actually seen my doppelganger. A manager at work when I was in college brought in a photo of her niece and showed it to me, explaining that it was taken at a Renaissance festival. I told her that I'd never been to one and that I had no clue where this was or when she had gotten it. I thought the girl in the photo was me, even down to the freckled face, her hair in a bun with a claw clip and a men's shirt t-shirt on. She looked just like me. It was a really weird experience to be told that was not me in the photo. Keep up the great show. I love it." So that's really
interesting. Yeah, that's very creepy and cool.
Now, you didn't get to tell the story in the actual doppelgangers episode, but didn't you have a doppelganger in college?
Oh, yeah, I did. But and my hair at the time was pretty blonde, like bleach blonde. So who knows? I think it's more like an archetype that I was fitting. But for a year solid, people would just come up to me and say, "I love your band. I'd buy you a drink." Okay.
Yeah. So you had like a rock star doppelganger.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was cool. Yeah. Thanks, doppelganger.
Well, hey, if you have anything you want to share with us, be it related to your fingers or to your doppelganger.
Or your toes.
Or your toes, yeah. Or various sci-fi references that I've made or failed to make. Feel free to let us know. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook as Blow the Mind.
And you can also drop us a line at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.